In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, welcome back to the Word for Life. Good morning, everyone. Jack Gardner here, Word for Life producer, and here with Pastor Ken Keltner and also Pastor Mark Widmer. Am I saying your last name right?
You are.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
Well done.
Because I practiced all night long. No. And glad to be back. I finally got, as my dad would say, the COVID. You know? And Dad, why are you putting a "the" on it? I don't understand that. But
it's the dreaded sickness that nobody wants.
It is, yeah. But the good news is I don't have it now, so you guys are safer right now.
Well, we're glad about that.
Yeah, among other things. But nice to be back with you guys. So we do want to remind you about a few things happening here at Brookside. As Christmas approaches here, we have Christmas Eve, that service at 4 p.m. We'd love to see you out there for it. We also, Sunday the 25th, there's one service at 10 a.m. there. And then also on the 1st, there's also another service, one service at 10 a.m. as well.
Yeah. Christmas and New Year's fall on Sunday this year. So that's how we're working and scheduling that. And, you know, Christmas is all about Jesus.
It is.
That's what we've been kind of wanting to study here this week is how it all began. And it began back in the book of Genesis. Not necessarily in the manger of Bethlehem. It began back in the garden that God was going to promise because of Adam's choice to sin and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat of that fruit, that there is a Redeemer that God has promised to us. And that's where we left off in our last broadcast. We've really entitled this A Promise from the Beginning. And one aspect about God, as far as when we look at attributes of God, is that he's truthful. You know, he's faithful. I mean, you think of other attributes that stand out to you about God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, his righteousness, holiness, they're all-powerful, just dozens and dozens of them, yeah.
He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. Yeah.
And as much as we love him, we're to fear him.
Yeah.
Just
mm-hmm.
like a good dad,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and what he says is true.
Yeah,
like you said, it's really the spine of all he is. You know, if I can say that,
and one aspect of why Jesus came was to take care of the sin problem. And last broadcast you read for us, 1 John 3:8, which answers really very definitively why Jesus came.
He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
And I don't want you to miss that. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the answer to the problem of sin in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we left off really analyzing and looking at the context, first of all, of what took place. Pastor Mark read for us those first seven verses, and why don't you just read that for us again for those that weren't able to be with us to pick up this context. It's very important that you understand this.
Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths."
So that really gives us a great context. I remember when I was working through on my master's, Dr. Whitcomb was the one teaching, and he asked a simple question. And the question was, where was Adam when Eve was being tempted? And most guys have really, really have trouble with this answer, because most say, well, he was out in the garden, he was working, he was doing something, he wasn't right there. But according to verse 6, when it says she also gave to her husband after she took a bite of that fruit, she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So it looks like he was right there with her when this took place, which there was a fellow, Larry Crabb, wrote a book entitled The Silence of Adam, and he looked all throughout Scripture when men throughout Scripture should have stood up and said something, and they stayed quiet. And that's still an issue that, unfortunately, we see today. But here it is. God gave him everything to enjoy. Just one simple prohibition. You cannot eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And again, you know, Eve magnified that restriction by saying, now we can't even touch it. And I left off with pastor and author Stephen Davey when he said, you know, we're either going to believe God or we're not going to believe God. And that was what was right there before. It was not a temptation for them to sin. It was a test to see if they would be obedient and surrender to God's command. And we deal with that ourselves. Am I going to obey God, or am I going to want to do it my way? And usually when I want to do it my way, we have trouble. But Stephen Davey lays out several thoughts for us to consider. Do we ever question God and think what we want is better than what God delivers? Do we want, or do we need, what's more important than what God offers? And do what we feel, is it superior to what God allows? And what we decide is more clever than what God directs? I think that's something that even for us today, we have to actually consider that. Because, friends, sin ultimately is a description of rebellion. It's an attitude that we know better than God. It's very important for us to see the source of the temptation is not God. It was the serpent. We're not talking about the reptile here. James wrote for us in James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now, what's interesting about the design or this nature of the temptation is it's the same today as it was in the garden. You look at this nature of temptation. Step one, Pastor Mark, from what you read there in those first seven verses, is the serpent, Satan, is questioning the truthfulness of God's word. Is that really what the Bible says? Satan has deceitfully placed question marks where God has placed a period. God said, here it is. And haven't you seen people get in trouble in life when they start questioning God's word? You know, is that really what God meant? And so step one of the devil is really simply sowing seeds of doubt with us. So that was the first step. Step two is just flat out contradicting the word of God. The serpent, Satan, said, you shall not surely die. He's just disputing God's command. And then step three, he's criticizing the character or the wisdom of God himself. The attack is that God wants to deprive you of pleasure, making you question whether or not God's word is reasonable. And dealing with young people, I used to always say, hey, the lie of Satan is he wants you to believe that God doesn't have your best interest at heart. That God's going to not give you what's really good in life. That God is going to gyp you. You know, you're going to end up in Abu Dhabi someplace, you know, if you really get serious with God. And if you get serious with God, you're going to get gypped. And that's a flat-out lie. I mean, all throughout Scripture, you know, you find even King David in a time of trial in Psalm 34 and verse 8, he says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I think just looking at the Redeemer that's been promised to us and that Jesus came to provide salvation and give us victory over sin We can't overcome sin. We can't overcome death. Those two great enemies, and he conquered them both.
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan is attacking God's character here. You know, it could have been questioning there for Adam and Eve. Are there other trees enough, or is God, you know, is he holding out on us, not giving us the best? He was trying to put into their minds that God is not really that good, and he's not going to be that good to you. And Satan has injected a suspicion here about the character of God. Notice what John says in his epistle about the nature of temptation. I'm going to ask you to read this passage for us, Pastor Mark. It's one that's pretty familiar there in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
The same temptation that was hitting Eve is the same temptation that hits us. I mean, did you notice there the desire of the flesh? There was the lust of the eyes, or the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life. Genesis 3 lets us know that the woman saw the fruit was good for food. That's the desire of the flesh. She saw it was a delight to the eyes. I mean, that's filling in the lust of the eyes there. And finally, she saw that it was desired to make one wise like God. That's the pride of life. Mm-hmm. And friends, just let me show you a parallel of this in the New Testament. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was tempted in these same three exact areas. The lust of the flesh. Satan told him, turn these stones into bread. The lust of the eyes. Look at the kingdoms that I will give you. And then the pride of life. You throw yourself down and the angels will catch you, because after all, you are the Son of God, aren't you? I mean, we find that in Matthew chapter 4. And do you remember exactly how Jesus answered each of those temptations?
Mm-hmm. He quoted Scripture.
Mm-hmm. He quoted Scripture. Yep. He said, it is written.
Yeah.
You know, man shall not live by bread alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall thou worship. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I mean, so he goes back to Scripture, and anytime we get into an issue of trying to dialogue back and forth with our own feelings about a certain temptation, we get in problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to echo, too, that this is such an important topic, because every temptation, as you're pointing out, Pastor Ken, that we face, whether inside of us or around us, is in those three categories: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This is exactly where mankind has always lived. It's where we live in 2022.
And the answer is going to be, we have to know the Word. And so the mm-hmm. best offense is the defense, to mm-hmm. know God's Word.
Yeah.
I trust you'll join us for our next broadcast as we continue in our study here of the wonderful promise from the beginning. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.